You are listening to episode number 235 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am Ben, a.k.a. the Marvel Ziggy. Joining me is not... I'm not by myself today, but in fact, I am joined by a very special guest who decided to join me at the very last minute. I very much thank you for that. You've heard him before. You know him. You love him. I hope you don't hate him. He's my friend. Kuhan joins us once again.
Hey, look, I know you know a lot of podcasters, so thanks for thanking of me.
I don't know a lot of podcasters.
Shut up. That was
I could have asked Brandon, but I'm pretty sure I would have gone it would have been a very slow response.
I was doing
Ant-Man. Oh, were you? Oh, okay.
From Civil War. That's right. Hey, I know you know a lot of super people, so thanks for thinking of me.
Speaking of Ant-Man, we're going to talk a lot about Ant-Man later today. So, we have a lot of news to bring to you, including a lot of new casting people coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The casting couch. The Marvel casting couch.
Yes. Including Sharon Stone and a whole bunch of Spider-Man Homecoming casting as well.
Sharon Stone on the casting couch,
yes. People under the age of what, 15 aren't not gonna know what that means? They don't know Sharon Stone like we do.
Oh, I thought you meant they don't know the casting couch.
No, I was talking about just Sharon Stone in general and her reputation. And also we're gonna talk about, since E3 was last week, Spider-Man of course got a new video game trailer by a certain game, so we'll get more on that, as well as certain fantasy picks at the end of the show. And of course, because and some also related to Marvel Comics itself, we have a new details on a new Spider event, which is gonna make my blood boil. And of course, more talk on the all new Marvel Now Shattered, whatever they're doing in the fall. So let's get right into it with some Spider-Man Homecoming casting, as we have some several choices coming up with comedian Hannibal Buress, who I will admit I'm not fully aware of, but I'm pretty sure Kuhan is very well versed. Michael Barberi, who is another character joining Spider-Man Homecoming, as well as Kenneth Choi. And of course, the big one that I think has everybody losing their stuff is... was it Community or is it Parks and Rec? I confuse.
Community's
own Donald Glover will be joining Spider-Man Homecoming. That is quite a list of people joining this movie. I'm not even sure if Michael Keaton is confirmed in this movie or not, or if he, because I know.
I think he's confirmed.
Okay. So, like, that's already. So, I'm going to get right to you because you know a lot more about these people. I mean, you and I both know who Donald Glover is, and we'll talk about him in a bit, but I want to get your. You know more about these people than I do. So I want to hear your thoughts on this kind of situation.
Yeah, well, I don't know who Michael Barberi is, but I think he's a kid. So I think he's supposed to just be like one of Spider-Man's friends or something. Or maybe he's going to be Flash Thompson.
That would be cool. Congratulations, Joe. You have no legs and an addiction to a symbiote to look forward to.
Let me look up Michael Barberi real quick. Because I think he's
in the Dark Tower currently.
Yeah, but he's like a young dude. So, like, he's probably going to be playing, like, a teenager, or even younger, maybe, even. I'm not sure how old he is, but he looks, you know, probably around or slightly younger than Tom Holland's age. So, so who knows? Maybe it's going to be a different Flash Thompson. Maybe Flash is cyberbullying Peter Parker.
Probably.
by the way, Michael Barberi was born in New York City, so he'd be a better pick for Spider-Man. No, I like Tom Holland.
Seriously, don't stop.
I like Tom Holland, but they've never had a New Yorker play Spider-Man, ever, which is weird. Kenneth Choi, of course, I think was in First Avenger.
Yes, he was one of the Howling Commandos, which is sort of the
Howling
like...
Commandos. Yeah, he was an Agent Carter as well. Like he is a, not necessarily like a super well known character, But like, he is a known character in this universe, so it'd be interesting to see if like he's playing like his own grandfather.
They confirmed it's not. It's just a different character. There's a similar aspect going on in Luke Cage, where a character that appeared in Civil War. I don't really remember what the character's name was, but he's also appearing in Luke Cage, which is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Although if you just watch any of the Netflix or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you wouldn't know it's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe because they never talk about it. Well, no.
They bring up the stuff in Netflix and slightly in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Carter, I think, is just getting straight up retconned out of the universe.
Well, yeah, because Agent Carter only had the one season, so.
By the way, Alfre Woodard, who was she was the mother who showed Iron Man the picture.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I think. I thought that's who I think she is.
I believe so.
But Hannibal Buress is a stand-up comic who I'm a huge fan of. He's also in Broad City. But yeah, I don't know. I've been a fan of Hannibal Buress since his first stand-up special. I think he's hilarious. I know he gets like he is divisive for a lot of people as far as his stand-up goes.
Oh, what's that?
But well, it's just because it's his style. Like some people don't like his style. He actually, I feel like his delivery is very Mitch Hedberg in a way.
Oh, I love Mitch Hedberg. Okay.
Yeah, no, Hannibal Buress, he has three specials on Netflix right now. You should check him out. I think you'd like him. But
you say Mitch Hedberg to me, I already know who that is. I'm like, okay, I got you.
Yeah. His style is like Hedberg, but that like he's not, his comedy isn't quite like Mitch Hedberg. But I think some people just don't sort of like his style. But I've been a fan of Buress for a while. I really like him. As a stand-up, he's one of my top three stand-up comedians.
Wow!
So
I used to be into stand-up comedians for the longest time, and then I just sort of dropped off.
He's either my one or my two. Like it's him and John Mulaney.
Not Bo Burnham. I figured
Bo Burnham's in my top five. Number three is Patton Oswalt, and then Bo Burnham, and then Barack Obama.
I was gonna try to think of something funny to say, but I couldn't do it. Okay, I'm a terrible podcasting host. Despite doing this for 6 years. Okay, so you know who he is. Who do you think he's gonna be? Because obviously he's not a big name within like multimedia things.
He's a fairly big name.
Okay.
He has his own Comedy Central show. He's a recurring character on Broad City, and he has three stand-up specials, and like one of them is a Netflix special. So I think he's a pretty decently sized name, especially in comedy. I think it would be awesome if he's Robbie Robertson.
Okay, so you think he's gonna play the side to Jonah? Okay, that's cool. That's interesting.
I think that's
when you consider him, like, how old is he? Because like I always assume Robbie as a much older gentleman who's right next to Jonah in terms of age. So,
well, I mean, Hannibal Buress is in his 30s. Okay. He's 33, but if we're looking at Peter as 16,
that would be older. Like, yeah,
like that's twice his age at that point, you know. So, I
don't know. What if he's the Shocker?
What if he's
the Shocker?
Doubtful, but I know. People are talking about maybe Donald Glover would be Robbie Robertson Jr., but I like the idea of Hannibal Buress being like straight up Robbie Robertson. He's like a little younger, but also a little older. Like, and especially like I think the way that news media is now. You know, maybe your editor-in-chief's an older dude, but everyone below him is not going to be over the age of 40, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the way it goes. So it makes sense for Robbie Robertson to be that dude. I feel like, and I don't know, people might disagree, but I feel like Hannibal Buress is the sort of dude whose delivery style would fit a Robbie Robertson-type character.
Okay.
Like, just chill out, Jonah. Jonah, chill out! All right.
That's the question of who's going to be Jonah. You know, but who knows if they're even going to catch him. Although J.K. Simmons looks like he's doing pretty well.
He's ready to take Spider-Man out by his own.
Exactly. If you know what we're talking about, just go search J.K. Simmons workout pictures.
Search J.K. Simmons ripped AF. Yeah,
exactly. He's going to be a great Commissioner Gordon. Okay, so also, I believe in... Anything else to say on these other actors? Kenneth Choi, I don't know. But who do you think he's going to play Robertson? Who do you think Kenneth Choi is going to be playing?
I thought it was confirmed that he was playing like the principal. The principal or something.
Okay. Yes.
I remember reading that, but I might have been talking to Joe about that.
You are correct. He is playing the principal, which I think he could be. Okay. It's the principal. It's gonna be a role full of shenanigans. But let's talk about another. Let's move on to another one, which is Sharon Stone is.
We didn't talk about Donald Glover.
Oh, because I don't want to. Okay, let's. But we will. But we will because for the past, how's it been? Like what? 4 years. We've heard ever since at least Miles Morales became the most popular thing on the internet to talk about.
Before Miles Morales, because Miles Morales was partially inspired by that Donald Glover.
Okay.
Stand-up. Not exactly, of course, but like it's since Amazing Spider-Man 1 was being cast, people were like, hey, Donald Glover should be Spider-Man, like
at least 4 years, yes, five years. Okay. And of course the sort of resurgence of Miles Morales is sort of heightened that, and now he's going to be in it, and I think it's, and we know he's not, and we don't know who he is. There's a lot of people speculating he might be Miles, although. He's not going to be Miles. I think, like, I hope he's not Electro. Like, I hope they don't have him redo Jamie Foxx's character, because that was possibly one of the worst parts of Amazing Spider-Man 2. But I think he could be whoever the hell he wants.
I think it's cool that he's going to be in the movie. I think it's neat. I think even if he's like not even playing a major character and just sort of like is there just because like.
What if he's Eddie Brock?
That would be cool, but I think he's a little too old to be Eddie Brock too. But maybe I don't know. Eddie Brock could be like this sort of dude who's like a mentor type character to Peter, and then in the sequel he becomes
jealous over Peter's success in, you know, like it took Peter the amount like less amount of time to become what he is, whatever it may be, and you have Donald Glover playing Eddie Brock as this sort of like. This fucking kid, just like all this hard work I've done, and you still have the jealousy aspect, and it would allow Donald Glover to play something that's not. Because as much as I love Donald Glover, I don't want him to be typecasted as, oh, he's the funny guy. Let him be the funny guy. Right. I would if I'm.
Well, yeah. I think he's sort of trying to buck that kind of stuff too. Like he's, you know, he was kind of funny in The Martian, but like he wasn't like, you know, like a, like humorous.
But he also wasn't like, Cal Penn where he didn't talk.
right. So I think he was a stand-up, and now like he's not really a stand-up anymore. Like he's more of a musician than he is a stand-up. And he has a show coming out on FX later this year called Atlanta, which shoots in Atlanta. He's from Atlanta, so it's cool because most of the Marvel movies nowadays film in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So and that's a drama series too. So I think he's sort of like, I don't think he's trying to like buck the his comedy. You know, like he got his start as a comedy writer. But on the other hand, I think he's also trying to like make sure people know that he's not necessarily just a comedy guy. I think it'd be cool if he's the Prowler.
That would be cool as Hobie Brown.
Or whatever, like whoever is Miles Morales' uncle
in the Ultimate Universe. Yes, it's the Prowler. Yes, the Prowler.
Yeah, no, that's the Prowler. But like, it's a different like incarnation of it. But like, whatever. Whatever version of the Prowler he is. But like, if he's the dude who ends up being Miles' uncle, Aaron Davis is the ultimate envision. That would be interesting, and then you sort of have that Miles Morales connection, but not, you know, you don't have a 32-year-old playing Miles.
Yeah,
Morales.
Exactly. Or you know, what if Miles Morales was Spider-Man before Peter Parker? You know, I don't think they're gonna do that because that would make Spider-Man feel less special. But either way, my pick is Eddie Brock, just because I think it would allow him to play something a little bit more darker. And to have and if he is Eddie Brock, I like Venom. You and I did a whole commentary for Spider-Man 3, and we talked about Venom at full length. But
I wasn't there.
Oh, you weren't. That's right, you weren't there. But either way,
I shut up.
The people who are listening, me and Mr. Dragon did a full thing for Venom, and our friend Zero Score did a whole thing about Venom, and that if they're gonna do this, because we all know Sony is still making this movie, just Marvel has oversight. So, and we all know Sony has a huge hard on for Venom. They're still trying to get a Venom film off the ground. If it is not, and this is no confirmation of me speculating, I would like Donald Glover to play something. I don't want him to play a jokey character. I would like him to play something where he has to step out of his norm and play something. And like, granted, that'll probably be the unsafe thing to do, because when you see Donald Glover on a movie poster, you're going to go expecting a certain kind of performance, and when you don't deliver, I guarantee people aren't going to
like it. Well, I mean, I don't know, because I think, like I said, Donald Glover, like, isn't really that dude as much as he was in the past, especially now that he's got like a drama series coming out.
Maybe it's because I'm just looking at people's reception of him, because I guarantee you there are people who think of him as still just the
funny. Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, just like you see, you know, Paul Rudd, and he's gonna be a superhero, but yet it worked. You know,
well, that was a pretty
funny movie. Like, exactly, but like it still allowed him to like be more than what he was before. So there we go. I think he's gonna do a great job. I just didn't like the fan base around him. He's not gonna play Miles. So like get that out of your head.
What if he does? What if he shows up and is like, "Hey guys, I'm Miles Morales. I'm 13 years old."
And like what is he gonna be like? Steve Buscemi. Hello, fellow kids. That's what he's gonna be like. Then you're gonna have Dateline just right in the background. Hey, Mr. Morales, can you sit down over there, please? Can you just take a seat right over there, please? I just made Miles Morales more creepy than he needed to be. Any thoughts on this final casting choice before we move on?
Nope.
All right, let us know in the comments below or on Twitter or on Reddit under our podcast what you think of Miles Morales or any of the casting choices, Kenna Choi, Michael Barberi, Hannibal Burgess, and of course, Miles Morales. Donald Glover.
Just announced Donald Glover's legally changing his name to Miles Morales.
Well, it's better than Ocho Cinco. Okay. Now,
Sharon Stone.
Yes, moving on to another bit of cast potential. We don't know who. I think she's in it. But we don't know what movie she's going to be. But Sharon Stone is revealed a long time ago that she was an upcoming Marvel film. Since then, she's revealed a bit of detail on her character. According to AARP profile Stone, she says her character has heat powers and is a superhero. This leaves a few possible possibilities for women with fire heat powers in the Marvel Universe. Looking at what Marvel's plan for Phase 3 and beyond, Stone could be playing a version of the pyrokinetic sword leader Abigail Brand, which basically, if you don't know what sword is if you have shield, which protects the Earth around terrestrial threats, sword is your first line of defense for like against like if we're talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Chitauri, and soon to be Thanos, which I think if you're talking about if you've ever read anything to do with Abigail Brand, she was a huge part of Joss Whedon. She was created by Joss Whedon, so that wouldn't surprise me. And another thing, if she's Abigail Brand, she was
Well, Whedon's out of the MCU.
True, but it would be like, you know, it's still like it would still be nice. Like, here's your characters in here, you know. Thank you for making these movies, and we're sorry we made you do things you didn't want.
Although I guess he's still probably tangentially involved.
I guarantee you, he's like executive. He probably has like some like he probably could.
Well, I mean, his brother and sister-in-law are the creators. Like, they make
exactly. So I think Sharon Stone as Abigail Brand could be cool, because Abigail Brand is sort of this very one of the more newer. She's relatively new in terms of characters. Of like, she's a woman who doesn't. She's not a bitch, but she holds her ground. She knows what she needs to do. She takes no shit from anybody. And if you look at a woman who could portray that, I can't think of anybody better than Sharon Stone who could provide this sort of, I've done this for years, I don't need anybody, well, I don't, like, me and my team, we can handle our shit. I just wondering how they're, if they go that route, how they're going to explain Sword, where they're going to explain Sword, because, like, you know.
Probably in S.H.I.E.L.D.
There's been a floating satellite around the Earth, we just never talked about it, because we're the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we don't address continuity errors. But what do you think about Sharon Stone joining the Marvel Universe? I mean, this isn't confirming that she's playing Abigail Brand, but
yeah, I feel like, I mean, maybe she is, maybe she's not. She's pushing 60, so it feels like they might not want to have her playing Abigail Brand, who might be somebody they want to keep around for longer. But who knows? Like that's I don't know their intentions behind that sort of character. I think my favorite part of the story is that it's according to her AARP profile. Yeah. That's the best part of the story. Also, to give
context, and I should have done this before, she's in a supporting character for the upcoming Captain Marvel film. So just to give sort of context, which also leads credence to the theory that she'll be playing Abigail Brand, because Captain Marvel should be a very science fiction-led movie considering the subject of the character. But
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be interesting. Sharon Stone is not a bad actress. She apparently has an IQ of 154.
She's a very smart woman. Knows what she's doing.
Actually, I don't have a problem with Marissa Tomei, but she looks a lot more like my picture of Aunt May.
Yeah, yeah, looking at her now, she looks like, she actually looks a lot like Ultimate Aunt May.
I know, right? None of this, again, Marissa Tomei is going to be great.
But... what is this weird... I have a boner for Aunt May. What's going on here?
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's not much to say because we don't really know much about her character. Just, she's maybe going to be Abigail Brand, and she's definitely going to be...
She has powers.
Captain Marvel. Yeah. Oh, so she's definitely going to be Captain Marvel, unless she's not. Unless they change that between now and the time they cast Captain Marvel, who they haven't cast
yet. Well, there's a front runner, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Brie Larson, but...
Right, right. No, and I hope it's Brie Larson. I love Brie Larson. It's just... still don't know for
exactly
sure.
And that movie comes out in like, that movie comes out in 2 years and you get
20 yeah it comes out go yeah 3 years come right
2018 they moved 2018? It up
I thought they moved it back.
Okay, well the article I'm reading says it's 2018, so
okay, well
three years it's still like it's gonna go by quickly, so I would like them to start at least
right, but they have like a, if it's 2 years they have at least a year before they start.
True.
So
okay, but who do you, like, if it's not going to be Abigail Brand, I know you don't really have an extensive background with the Marvel Universe, who do you think?
I don't know. I mean, as far, yeah, I really, I don't even know that I can make an educated guess about who it's going to be. Just, you know, I hope it's good. Really not, yeah, I don't know, there's not much to say.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's jumping on this sort of superhero bandwagon. I mean, Rocky, I mean, Sylvester Stallone's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So like, that's amazing. Like I mean the entire cast of Creed is in the MCU. That just goes to show you like.
By the way, March 8th, 2019
okay.
is the
okay
yeah
right before Avengers Infinity War Part 1 or 2 whatever.
No, part two. So it's Doctor Strange is coming out this year. Then Guardians 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Thor are all coming out in 2017, and then Black Panther, Infinity War Part 1, Ant-Man and the Wasp in 2018. And then Captain Marvel in March of 2019, Infinity War Part 2 and in May of 2019, and then question.
Also, those movies are to be retitled. We don't know what they are, but they're probably going to be called Infinity right. War and Infinity Gauntlet. But yeah, let us know what you... I think that's enough to say. Sharon Stone, another wonderful casting choice to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because I feel like they're just getting everybody at this point. When is Liam Neeson going to join the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know? When is that going to happen?
I have a very particular set of skills. Here is the list of my powers.
Oh, man, that'd be great. That would be great. All right, let's move on to some video game talk. Obviously, if you don't know, this past week was E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo. I said it right. And Insomniac Games at the Sony press conference revealed the newest trailer for the upcoming Spider-Man game, simply titled Spider-Man. And boy, granted, it was a CG trailer, but I'm not going to lie, it made me, for the first time since, I want to say, Shattered Dimensions, which was quite a while ago, has...
5 years, yeah, I think, right?
It's been a while.
It's been a while!
I mean, it, you know, has we've had a mainline Marvel game, and namely because a lot of the Marvel games have been relegated to iPhone games, see, Contest of Champions, which I hate, but whatever.
Puzzle Quest is a lot of fun.
Okay, whatever. It's still an iPhone game, and I'm a console guy. But we finally got a trailer for it. You can see it on YouTube. Just, you know, Spider-Man, all that stuff. And I gotta say,
if you haven't already seen it in your Facebook,
exactly feed. Everywhere. And it's by the people, Insomniac Games, who, if you don't know that, they created Ratchet and Clank. They also were the people who were possibly behind the best superhero game of the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 generation, which was Infamous 1, Infamous 2, which was great. Like, possibly the most, like, original superhero game I've ever played. If you've played those games, they're great open-world sandbox with superhero electrical powers or fire powers, whatever you want to go with. So the fact that, you know, like, I don't know about you, but I love the trailer. Granted, it was all CGI, but knowing who's behind it, I have full faith this game should be really amazing.
PS4 exclusive, first of all.
Fuck.
Make sure everyone knows
that. I guarantee you it's a timed exclusive. There's no way this is going to stay on one console.
Maybe. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? For now, it's a PS4 exclusive. We don't know if it's moving around or not, but for now, it's a PS4 exclusive. I think it looked amazing.
Would you say it looks sensational also?
I think it looks spectacular.
Okay.
I heard that was... gameplay footage.
Okay. See, that's the thing. It's like, it's game. It's probably using the gameplay engine, but when they use, like, it's using, when they use specific animations just for that, it makes me think it's not. Like, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I mean, some of it looked like the kind of animations you'll see in, like, a Batman Arkham game. You know, like here's gameplay, and then here's the animation you go into for the Arkham type thing. And the Arkham games, you know, were quite good and did very well as well. Who's the developer?
For what, the Batman games, or?
No,
for this game. Insomniac Games.
Insomniac Games. What else
they do? They Infamous, they created Ratchet & Clank. Those are their big, those are the big ones that they've done.
Yeah, and I mean, based on that, like, based on, I never played Ratchet & Clank. I played like half of one Ratchet & Clank, not even half, like a level of one Ratchet & Clank game. And I played parts of Infamous. Did they do Infamous?
They did Infamous, yes.
Their Wikipedia page does not show Infamous.
They did Infamous.
Unless I'm... Infamous video game on Wikipedia. Sucker Punch did Infamous. Ah.
You know what? Don't blame that on me, because everybody, including me, was touting, like, oh, and they made Infamous, so that means this game's going to be great. So that's not on me. That's on me for not doing the research.
So, and Insomniac, by the way, is owned by Sony, so it's probably going to be Sony exclusive.
That's so, what it is.
They're all Naughty Dog and Sucker Punch, all three of those companies are owned by Sony, so it's going to be good. Yeah, it's all like one big, you know, brotherhood.
Big Sony family.
They did do Ratchet and Clank.
Okay.
So yeah. Although they have done Xbox games too, so who knows? Sorry, I'm now I'm just sort of talking to myself. So I mean they've done good games, and this looks good. The gameplay looks solid, if that's gameplay footage, and it looks like, I mean, at least, you know, good gameplay engine stuff. I don't know.
It's so hard to tell.
It's early, you know.
Yes, we don't know release date, but the only thing I don't like is the white spider emblem. It just sticks a little too out. Like, I like the overall design of the Spider-Man costume. I think it looks great. But that white just bothered me. Like, maybe it won't bother me. Maybe they can change it. You know how I know I can change? I can get a change.org petition to get going.
Well, you can also probably, like, they're also probably going to have, like, you know, different costumes you can buy
definitely.
And stuff as well. You know, so, like, that's...
Pre-order DLC to play as Spider-Man Homecoming costume.
Oh my god! Yeah, you know what? I would guarantee it. Maybe not pre-order DLC. Definitely DLC.
There's gonna be pre-order
DLC costumes. I just don't know if Homecoming is gonna be a pre-order DLC costume, but yes, there's definitely gonna be costumes. Like
that's what made
you know how much money there is in selling costumes.
Well, yeah, DLC? I mean that's what made you know, the Spider-Man game on the PlayStation 1 really great is when you unlock those other costumes and you replayed the game, or even Spider-Man Shadow Dimensions when you played as a different Spider-Man. You know, I never played... there was another one for the PlayStation 3 that I don't really remember, but you played as, like, a symbiote Spider-Man. But, like, you know, you get fun costumes. You know, like, you don't want to just play as red and blue suited Spidey. You want to play as armored Spidey, or, you know, I guarantee you there's going to be a Miles Morales suit, you know. That'll be the pre-order bonus. Mm-hmm. The Miles Morales one. There you go.
Possibly. By the way, Insomniac did do a couple years ago Sunset Overdrive exclusively for Xbox.
Yeah, it was a launch title that was meant for greater things. But yeah, and then anything else you want to say about this? Because I think we've pretty much exhausted all opinions on this.
No, I'm wondering if there's a negative opinion on this.
I don't think there is. I think people are thirsty for a... Because the thing is, I think the Amazing Spider-Man 2, the Amazing Spider-Man games, I think this was significant. And we're going to get into it in our last segment, which we talk about Marvel has plans for their games, is that for the longest time, if it was a superhero game, chances are it was licensed out and it was shit. There's some exceptions, obviously, with, like, Spider-Man 2, that's heralded as one of the great superhero games, but you look at Green Lantern, you look at Thor, you look at Superman Returns, the video game, you look at, some of the X-Men games, generally, there's a there has been a long time, up until, I want to say, at least Arkham Asylum, where if it was a superhero game, that must mean there's a movie connected to it. That means it must suck. So I like that Marvel is sort of like, you know what? No, we're going to get the, try to get the best people to make the best games for our characters, similar to what they're doing with the MCU. And if that means I get a good Captain America game, because I played the Captain America game that Sega produced. That thing was hot garbage. It wasn't hot garbage, but it was like the potential is there. But because it was a movie licensed game and it was only going to end one way, and the less they're said about the Thor game is the better, and so on and so forth. But we'll get into that in our last segment as we talk about the future of Marvel video games. But let's move on to some Marvel Comics news, as I refer to something making my blood boil. Apparently there's a new Spider-Man event coming out. Kuan, you want to guess what it's called? Because I know I gave you the article.
I already clicked on it. It's the clone conspiracy. Yes.
For months, Spider-Man Comics have been building something big. I wouldn't know because I haven't read it. And of course, for as long as Dan Slott has been writing the character, he's been dropping hints and arrangements for something major. Spider-Man fans have certainly started seeing hints, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, we've seen characters like the Rhino's wife, Osaka, the Gwen Stacy herself, at the end of Spider-Man's recent Free Comic Day. Fans have misled one aspect, however, Dead No More is not the real title of the story. Entertainment Week can now reveal the true name, the major story, which is Clone Conspiracy. And this is basically going to be Harold the Return of the Jackal, this is something more Slott said. Ever since Amazing Fantasy 15, for him it's been about loss of great power, constraint, responsibility. He learns that the lesson of life of Uncle Ben, and years later Captain Stacy dies in front of him. It almost the exact opposite. He did everything he possibly could do. He tried to live up to his responsibility, use his power, and still he lost someone very dear to him. So loss around Spider-Man. I mean, that's pretty much true. We live in a day and an age of comics where you're always seeing another important death. Here's someone who dies. We're subverting all that. Here's people coming back. The Clone Conspiracy will feature the return of Jackal. Jackal has always seemed to be obsessed with cloning Spider-Man and Gwen. He's had a very narrow focus. That's led to very interesting stories in the past. Well, what you call interesting, I call shit. But you have to stop and think, if you're the Jackal and you take science to the next level, what's more important than just cloning Gwen and Peters? Oh, what does this character want, and what's he going to do with this awesome science? This is not your normal supervillain play, says Nick Lowe, editor of the Spider-Man line. That's what makes Evolution even more interesting. It'll be a 5-issue miniseries written by Dan Slott, illustrated by Jim Chung, with the first issue hitting in October, with teases in Amazing Spider-Man number 16 through 18, and it apparently leads to a bigger story. So, I'm going to take a quote from a user on the GreenLanternCorps.com, Agent Purple, who I don't always see eye to eye with, but I saw it this one, in that, why does Marvel keep going back? Because this isn't the first time they've gone back to the Clone Well. Ever since Brand New Day, which, holy shit, that's going to be 10 years ago next year, which scares the living daylight out of me. Next December, 10 years will be like the end, like one more day, and Brand New Day started January. So 2018. But it's like just like the death of Superman, for Superman, DC can't help themselves but at least once a year to revisit that concept and have Superman fight Doomsday in some capacity. Hell, even Zack Snyder killed Superman on Easter.
Sometimes on the big screen. Yeah.
Spoilers, by the way. And I just feel like, and Kuhan, you are well aware of my hate for the Clone Saga, which I consider the worst Spider-Man story of all time. And I just keep wondering myself, why do we have to keep focusing on stuff? Why are writers, especially Dan Slott, so focused on trying to... And I'm convinced this is him trying to say, you know what? I can fix the Clone Saga. I can do the Clone Saga, but better. And you can't. And you know why you can't? Because Bendis tried this very same trick around 2006, 2007 with his own Clone Saga in Ultimate Spider-Man. And that was possibly one of the worst Ultimate Spider-Man comics I've ever read, because it was just a jargled mess. And I don't know. I don't know what this reasoning for to highlight this. What many consider the darkest part of Spider-Man's, at least in terms of the quality of his writing, because it basically was subverting everything you knew was a lie. That wasn't Spider-Man. This is Spider-Man, and we're just going to give you a really shitty costume character and make you think he's Spider-Man. But what are your thoughts on this? Considering you and I both don't read Spider-Man anymore.
I read Spider-Man on and off. I didn't stop when you stopped. I actually have keep going back to it. I just keep falling off of comics, but I've never really dropped off of Spider-Man. But I will say, you know, your whole argument hinges on hating the Clone Saga, but I actually really like Ben Reilly.
You can like Ben Reilly, so, but that story is just yeah.
No, sure. Sure, but I really like Ben Reilly, and Ben so Reilly. You know. By the way, as I'm talking, I'm watching the Cardinals game, and a trailer for Donald Glover's new show Atlanta just came on. I'm watching a commercial of Donald Glover.
Your technology is listening. Wait, Donald Glover, guarantee is what it is.
But no. So yeah. I mean, the Clone Saga wasn't great, but. I mean, I didn't personally read it, so I just hear it's bad.
It's bad.
And obviously, there's stuff surrounding it that I like, and I think there's interesting stuff to be done with it. I know I've been at the brunt of some of your Dan Slott rants.
Yeah. So why is he still writing Spider-Man? Why is through? I'm sorry. We're about to go through another main. We're gonna get to this in a second in more detail, but we're about to go through another paradigm shift for Marvel creators. Everybody switched books. Everybody. But somehow, this guy still keeps... You're telling me we don't have anybody else who can write Spider-Man?
Because the book's doing well and people like it.
That's because it's Spider-Man, though.
He's the longest-running Spider-Man writer now, right? He overtook JMS?
I think he took JMS, yeah.
Is Stan Lee still...
I think JMS, in terms of, Spider-Man issues, I think JMS outtook Stan Lee, and I think Dan Slott, because of all the double shipping and the bi-weekly shipping... has overtaken that. So yeah, it's just how you're telling me we don't have another writer to write Spider-Man. You're telling me this. You're lying to me, Marvel. Get him. Like, I don't like have him write Silver Surfer. Like, just have him stay away. Just get away from Spider-Man. We need a new writer. I want to read Spider-Man again, guys. I want to read about Peter Parker, not Steve Jobs being Peter Parker. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm interested to read it to see what happened in the Clone Conspiracy and then come back and report to you what's going
on. It's gonna look pretty at least because Jim Chung is doing the pencils.
Yeah, Jimmy Chung is great. Absolutely, yeah. And it's nice that we're not getting another Jim Lee book. Does Jim Lee do Marvel stuff anymore?
He's kind of the co-publisher of DC Comics. I don't think he would be cool if he...
Doesn't mean he can't do Marvel stuff.
I don't think
stuff.
They would. I don't think no. Warner Brothers would be like, ah. Although it would be, I guarantee the day I see modern Jim Lee do X-Men, I'd be like, that would literally just make me so happy. But it's never gonna happen. Not for at least another 10 years.
I read mostly DC stuff too. I don't like Jim Lee's art, and I know there's a point of contention between the two of us. But I'm not a Jim Lee fan.
I mean, it's okay to be wrong. I mean, you can still be. It's okay to be wrong.
I mean, the art's gonna be great. Jim Chung is great. I don't know why it has to be an event book instead of just being, you know, why can't it just be 5 issues of Amazing
Spider-Man? Because we want you to buy both. Books. That's why.
Right. No, I get it. But like, that's my biggest gripe is stop making event books out of everything. Just have stuff be in issues of, especially like this is a Spider-Man specific event, right? Well, Spider-Verse was also an event book, but at least that like went across multiple books. Like, I don't know, I've been sick of event books since 2007. So like, there's, you know, at some point, like maybe stop with the event books, please. But I did like Spider-Verse, and I read all of Spider-Verse, so. I don't know. We'll see where this goes with you know, Clone Conspiracy. He said there's going to be stuff that's going to stick around, and like this is going
to happen. Is that a pun? I swear to God,
I said stick around.
Okay, I was like, I was asking you. Is that a pun?
No. That was not. I just meant like stuff that's going to like have lasting ramifications or whatever. And I mean, I guess there might be something that has lasting ramifications, but it just feels like nothing has significant lasting ramifications.
Just look at Secret War. Last year, we just literally reshaped the universe, and now they're already ready to blow it up again with Civil War 2.
Slott wants to make it clear that the story will also be accessible to new readers or longtime Spider-Man fans intrigued by this new Clone Saga. I don't believe
that. No, you can't. There's no way you can make the Clone Saga this... accessible.
Not even that. It's just like, it's like, it's seems like comic book writers don't know what's accessible to new readers anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I picked up DC Comics Rebirth. Again, we're talking about the distinguished competition. I picked up DC Comics Rebirth, and, like, Rebirth on the DC side traditionally has meant you can jump onto this book, and, like, this is what it's for. It's for you to be able to jump onto. That's what Green Lantern Rebirth was. That's what Flash Rebirth was. DC Comics Rebirth, if I hadn't read a comic book before, I'd be lost as
hell. That was, yeah, that was more of a, I mean, to get a little sidetracked, that was more of a, hey, look, for the, we fucked up the past 5 years, and we're sorry.
No, and, right.
But
no,
it wasn't new reader-friendly. Like, but I wrote a review on that, like, and I specifically said that. Like, this is, I don't
know. Yeah, and that's the thing, is Rebirth means something. And I guess, I mean, bare minimum, you have to have seen, like, the Flashpoint Paradox movie off
Netflix. Oh, that was one of the more awful, just awful movies that I've ever seen. I want my hour and a half back.
By the way, I hear nothing but positive things about that movie. I still haven't seen it
because
I
didn't like Flashpoint. That is the worst animation I've ever seen in a DC movie. Character models, just like, what happened? That's all I want to ask. I just can't wait till Killing Joke comes out so I can actually see the return of the greatness.
So it's one of those things where it's like, it seemed like there's going to be so much history involved that I'm sure I'll be able to jump into it because I have been reading on and off Spider-Man
but stuff. But Joe Schmo walking into Barnes & Nobles isn't going to be like, what the fuck is this?
Exactly. Exactly. So that's my thing, I think it's more of an issue surrounding all comic books than just this book, where just writers don't seem to know what a new reader can jump into and can't jump into, but...
Yeah, I feel like a good example of a recent book you could jump onto is like Doctor Strange by Jason Aaron. Like, I feel like since a lot of people haven't read Doctor Strange, you know, in 10 years, you can read that and be its own self-contained thing, and they explain everything to you. But
to be fair, I don't think Jason Aaron's read Doctor Strange in 10 years. So true. It makes sense.
He's writing it as if he's read it all his life. So kudos to that. With the best Marvel book going on right now.
I don't think anybody's read Doctor Strange except for the people who are writing Doctor Strange when they're writing Doctor Strange. Like, it's one of those books that, you know, like...
Get ready for Doctor Strange being everywhere starting as we get closer to November.
I don't like Cumberbatch.
Well, again, you can be wrong about two things and still be my podcast. But, let us know what you think of the Clone Conspiracy people. Obviously, I hate it. And Dan Slott, why are you still in the book? Just why? Like, why does everybody get to have to switch places? But he has something, Axel Alonso, I'm convinced. he has, like maybe not something nefarious, but like something where like his job gets to stay. Like, just have him write Silver Surfer. But looking at one last piece of news before we move on to our two comic book reviews is that 2 weeks ago we talked about Marvel doing their new Marvel Now with shattered logo, because, you know, they want to copy DC Rebirth, despite I've heard nothing, but I have no emotion, or what the fuck, Marvel, why are you restarting everything? We got a little ad saying Divided, which shows the recently revealed Hydra Steve Captain America. That's his name. Yes, I'm going to run with that. And the new character Mosaic, who is also...
Hydra Steve Captain America? Just call him Hydra Steve, like Hydra Bob.
Exactly, Hydra Steve. Hashtag Hydra Steve.
Hydra Steve.
Use that hashtag.
Can we get that trending?
Please.
Listening to the show to get that trending,
no.
But please.
You never know.
Tweet Hydra Steve and at Kuhan. Yes. Make sure. I want to see all the Hydra Steve.
Exactly. Tweets. It means divided. I want to get your thoughts on Hydra. Basically, I want to use this as your thoughts on Hydra Cap. I want to pick your brain, because I've said enough about Hydra Cap and sort of Marvel sort of renumbering again. Seems to be reslating their line again come the fall, because starting in July they're going to release a preview book showing all the new books that are coming after Civil War, despite at that point Civil War is going to be barely halfway through. So what are your thoughts on Hydra Cap and what do you think Marvel's strategy is behind doing the renumbering and the reslating of new series starting this fall?
I forgot that I could pull up a soundboard and just play a fart noise instead of doing, but oh well. I don't care. It's just stop. That's it.
It's just like, I feel like, and we were talking about this a little bit before we did the show, actually, was that like Marvel seems to be like that long rung is now gone, and I'm slowly coming to terms with that, and I don't like it. I don't like that I'm only going to get 12 issues of Doctor Strange versus back in the day, okay, maybe I probably would have only gotten 12 issues of Doctor Strange. That's besides the point.
Please. You would have gotten 5 issues of Doctor Strange before it got canceled. That's
true. But, like, I miss being able to read a book for an extended period of time. My choice, again, you can drop off at any point you want, but, like, to know that now, to, like, it was one thing to, like, think that things might be finite and then keep reading them, but then to know, yeah, this is ending in 12 issues. Like, what's the point of me reading it monthly anymore? I read it monthly because I have to do it for the show, but if I didn't...
Thanks, Obama.
Thank you. That kind of freaked me out a little bit with my headphones, I'm not gonna lie. But it's like, I don't see the point of reading... Like, if I wasn't doing the show, I wouldn't read Marvel monthly anymore. Like, maybe, like, one or two series, but, like, I would drop half of Marvel's line because I'd just be tired of this and just read their old stuff. You know, and I'm interested in a lot of stuff that they're doing, but I'm just not, as a Marvel fan, a long-term Marvel fan, I'm not happy with the direction they're going. And maybe they don't want me anymore, you know?
Yeah, and it's just comic books. Like, there's most comics are just like, it feels like they don't, like, I don't know who they're for anymore. Like, they're not for new people. And they're not for long-time fans anymore.
Maybe this is me because I've been reading a lot of DC Rebirth stuff. I feel like that is for old-time readers. Like, I was reading, you know, Green Lantern, you know.
It's true. They just don't want me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and I don't know, like, what am I? Like, what, like, where do I fall in? Like, I'm not a new reader. I am an old-time reader. Like, I'm a long-time reader.
They want the old-time reader who sticks around. No offense. Like, that's not a shot at you.
Well, yeah. No. But, like, it's not that I didn't understand what was going on. It just wasn't good. That's all. I think it's because the layman likes Geoff Johns and Brian Bendis, and I don't.
Yeah, I mean they like the big name writers.
And by the way, I do like a lot of Geoff Johns and Brian Michael Bendis stuff. My favorite books on both sides are Geoff Johns and Bendis books. Like, you know, long runs on Ultimate Spider-Man I really enjoy, and my favorite collected DC comic book is Flash Blitz. So, like, I absolutely like those writers. It's just at this point, not as much.
Well, Geoff Johns isn't going to be writing any books anytime soon, you know. Cause...
Well, he's writing DC Rebirth.
Well, that was like a one shot, but like he's not doing anything monthly.
Because he's about to write the Batman.
Yeah, well, and also he's like trying to keep Zack Snyder in a cage for not directing Justice League. But either way, I'm not happy with Spider Mario Universe. This Mosaic character seems stupid. He's a brand new character, going to be debuting in Uncanny Humans number 11, and he's going to get his own ongoing series starting in October, written by Jeffrey Thorne and Kari Randolph, who I love Kari Randolph as an artist, and I hate that he's going to be on a book I give no shit about. But Hydra Steve, though, I want to see where that goes. I want to see him murder somebody. Murder Tony Stark for being an absolute douchebag in Civil War 2. Okay.
Let us know what you want hashtag Hydra Steve.
Yes, let us know. What is the most nefarious act that you want Hydra Steve to do? He probably leaves the seat open.
Make sure to use the hashtag.
Yes. Hydra Steve. Is that this is how social media works, right? You gotta tell him you ever use the hashtag. I bet you Hydra Steve doesn't wash his hands when he goes to the grocery store. That's probably what he does.
I bet you Hydra Steve takes 16 items into the 15 items or less lane.
I bet you Hydra Steve parks in the handicap parking spot and just.
He's only gonna stay for a couple
of minutes. Yeah, but he's still gonna do it. It's like I'm 90 years old. What are you gonna do about it? And he probably pays with, like, he doesn't pay with exact change, but then when you're trying to count everything, then he gives you the exact change. Oh man. That ran a little longer than I thought it would. Okay.
Yeah, that was a nice long news.
Exactly.
Segment.
Let's move on to our sort of individual reviews, which I'm gonna be covering the latest issue of Ant-Man, which is Ant-Man number 9. I love this series. I love this book, and this is just more of the same. This is sort of like basically a comedic version of Ocean's 11, in which Scott Lang has to get his like crew of Z-list supervillains to break in to rescue his daughter, who's been captured by the power broker. And if you haven't, I'm just gonna say this right now. If you haven't been reading Ant-Man, I've talked about Ant-Man before on the show. You should read this. It's such a breath of fresh air where a lot of comics try to be either super serious or, and there's nothing wrong with that, but like there's super serious and then there's we're gonna be serious but we're not gonna be that serious, but there's never really a lot of fun. I mean, comic is in the word, and this is pretty much, yeah, it's like if you like Superior Foes of Spider-Man, you're gonna love Astonishing Ant-Man. Very great art, By Rosas. He's amazing. I love his art, and it's just such great comedic timing. Like bits that can only work perfectly on a comic book page, and it's not like they're doing Paul Rudd, Nick Spencer, the writer, who's doing an excellent job of finding Scott's own voice. You can see elements of like, yeah, I could totally see Paul Rudd saying that, but it doesn't feel like it's Paul Rudd being the character, like when RDJ was basically in all the Iron Man books or all the Marvel books for the longest time. It's just a really great fun book, and there was no much more fun sequence when I read Scott's to his current lover in the Beetle and his former girlfriend Miss Thing seeing each other, and like that awkward like, oh fuck, what do I do, what the fuck do I do?
That was, by the way, that was one of my favorite sequences in I forget whether it was in Hawkeye or that Secret Avengers book or whatever.
All his girlfriends. Like,
yeah, all his girlfriend, like it was that. Yeah, my girlfriend, my ex girlfriend, and my work wife. Oh. It's like,
all right. Oh, that was Hawkeye. I remember that. That was
Hawkeye book itself. Because it was all those books coming out at the same time that had the same consistent voice for mm-hmm. that character.
I have opinions on Hawkeye, but I'll refrain on that. But yeah, I thought it was a very good issue, and it was the only Marvel book I read this week. Like, it was primarily dominated by independent books. Or non-big two books, rather, and DC, and to know that Ant-Man, despite everything, Ant-Man still continues to bring me joy every month it comes out is a great testament to the series, a great testament to the writer, that it hasn't gotten old, because you would think it, like, just constantly Z-list supervillains, being stupid and making quips about modern day, and, like, writing quips about social media. You think that would get old after, like, 5 issues, but it hasn't. It's still funny. It's still entertaining. And I really want to see how, like, the whole running thing is, like, Scott's in jail at the beginning of every issue. So I want to see, like, well, how the f*** does he get in jail? And it looks like they're starting to see... He's starting to unveil that, so, before the first year's over. So, yeah. Astonishing Ant-Man gets a 4 out of 5. Very great series. Most underrated title that Marvel's producing, and I'm glad it doesn't have anything to do with Civil War 2. But,
I enjoyed this book, so I haven't read it. I keep meaning to like to jump back on and get it, and this is I'll probably do it like right now with this issue, which I was reading while you were talking, and it's definitely enjoyable in these 15 pages I've read so far. But I really liked the book when it relaunched right around the time of the movie, which obviously was, you know, meant to be a tie-in, like not a tie-in, but like, hey, did you just watch Ant-Man on the big screen? Well, check out our Ant-Man comic book. I enjoyed it then, and it seems like it's still an enjoyable book, which is good. But I mean, and they definitely, you know, made this character a bit more of a comedic character than he was in the past. Scott Lang was
no, he was more of, yeah, he dude. Was more of a like down on his luck. Nothing ever goes right. Also, he got blown the fuck up, so.
Right. Sure. Agreed. That's.
Okay. But let's go to you.
Yes. I read Han Solo, number one. Because, like I said, I've been on and off of comic books, and I was like, all right, well, if I'm going to be on the Marvel show, let me read something that I know I don't need to have been reading something previously for. Let me read a number one issue of a Star Wars book, this was an enjoyable title. So it's basically Han Solo is off on some planet. I don't know which planet he's on at the beginning of the book, but he's just doing smuggling. He might even be on Tatooine. I'm not sure, but he's just doing some basic smuggling to get his money that he has to go return to Jabba, and he gets kidnapped by two other smugglers who turns out are working for the rebellion, and Leia's like, hey, I need your ship, and he's like, no, and so he has to enter this race to race the Millennium Falcon to do some mission. I don't
is think he gonna beat it under 12 parsecs? Is that the
that line isn't?
Oh, of course it is. Take a shot anytime. Anytime Marvel in the Star Wars comics can make a reference to the movies.
But I'm not sure. They have to like talk to three specific informants in the like within like during this race, and so Han, instead of letting the smugglers fly the Millennium Falcon, he and Chewie fly it in this race. But it ends like just as the race starts, and all the racers are like, oh, you're not a racer, you're a smuggler, haha, what a like, what a bitch. And then as the race starts, it turns out all of the ships that are being that are in the race are being attacked at the very end, presumably by the Empire, but we don't know yet because that's where the issue ends. I'll say it's enjoyable. It definitely got through the voice of Han Solo and the voice of Princess Leia, who are the only and Chewbacca just says,
"Of course."
So they got the voice of the two speaking characters in the book that are from the movie. So I think those made sense. It's enjoyable for having a point in the issue where Leia just fucking clocks Han Solo in the face. Like they're maybe 3 inches from each other about to kiss and she just punches him in the face, which is pretty
funny. Sounds like a junior high school thing to write.
Well, I think it's also like they're pretending that
they don't like each other. So it's a junior high school thing. Got it.
Well, no, but no, it's for everyone else's benefit because they're not nobody knows that this mission's happening except for Leia and the general and now Han. And then like only two people have the particulars of the thing. This is a secret mission that the rebellion can't know about because they think there's a mole. So Han is helping them suss out this mole because they can trust that Han is not an Imperial sympathizer. So they're
trying. What if at the end of the series Han goes Hail Imperial? Like he just goes
hail
no Palpatine. No, he goes hail Vader. That's what he says.
Hail Vader.
That's just instantly thought in my head. How come I haven't seen it? I better see an edit because there's nothing but edits of like Captain America as like other people in Captain America spot saying that like what the antithesis of what they are. I want an edit of that.
There must be out there somewhere like just like of Yoda saying Hail Hydra.
Yeah, something like that.
Or no, not Hail Hydra, Sith. Yeah. Or Hail Sith. Yeah. I think the art is great. Han Solo looks like Harrison Ford.
Who is the artist, if you don't mind me asking?
Who is the artist? I had that pulled up a second ago and now I don't.
We hit the Mighty Warriors 3 like love professionalism. That's a joke.
It's a written by Marjorie Liu, drawn by Mark Brooks, colors by
Sony. I like Mark Brooks.
Yeah. I think the art is quite good in this issue. I mean, everything, you do toe this line that you don't necessarily have to toe with something like Ant-Man, where you know there's an element of cartoonness, and you know Ant-Man doesn't need to look like Paul Rudd, but in a book like this, you know, like this or like Poe Dameron or like the Princess Leia book, they need to at least have a semblance of looking like the actors that they are, you know. So and I don't know who the artist is on Poe Dameron off the top of my head either, but
Phil Phil Noto?
I think it is Phil Noto.
Who is like, yeah, if you're gonna get a person to like do likeness in
Yeah, and Phil Noto does a great job making him look like Oscar Isaac. So I think you know, they did a good job. And now I'm imagining Phil Noto drawing the X-Men book. And Apocalypse shows up and it looks like Oscar Isaac. Although Oscar Isaac in Apocalypse didn't really look all that much like Oscar Isaac.
No, he didn't.
I don't know what the point was getting Oscar Isaac. Anyway, you guys talked about that last time. So I will say I like the art a lot. I think he did a good job. I think Marjorie Liu got the voices of the characters down. I believe that this is Han Solo and I believe that this is Princess Leia. So all in all, I think it was a good book, and I'll probably continue reading this. I haven't read any of the other Star Wars titles except for Poe Dameron. I read a couple issues of the other ones, and I just never really like hopped onto them. But
Darth Vader is supposed to be really, really good.
I'll probably check that out as well. I just, like I said, have been on and off of comics, and my girlfriend happened to have the first three issues of Poe Dameron in her bedroom, and was like, "Here, read these." I was like, "Okay." So, overall, I would give Han Solo a 4 out of
5. Okay, well, I mean, I think a lot of people, like, Marvel is dominating the market share with this Marvel, because people, Star Wars fans will just pretty much buy up anything with the name on it, you know, and I think they're actually doing a Star Wars adaptation of The Force Awakens, like, an adaptation of The Force Awakens, so I know that's probably going to do well, because people still love that movie. But there you go, let us know what you thought of Ant-Man, let us know what you thought of Han Solo, and Let us know what other Marvel books you read this week, because Lord knows I didn't read much of anything. But let's move on to our final segment, which is, of course, going back to the Spider-Man and how Marvel Games makes a new mandate of Epic Games. This is just the beginning. And this is sort of from an article from Polygon. Over the past few years, Marvel output has been primarily on mobile. Avengers Academy, Consists of Champions, Future Fight on PC, Marvel Heroes, and for Disney Infinity and Lego games. Marvel fans haven't had their own Batman Arkham equivalent, but with multiple Marvel console games in development, it sounds like this is changing. Ong said there's a lot of Marvel games plans for consoles talk that you can talk about. There are existing partners with Teller Games, which if you don't know who they are, you should look it up, because they do one thing, and they do one thing very, very well. Sony Interactive and Warner Brothers TT Games to make titles based on Marvel properties, please indicate there's a lot more in the works, which you'll more hear about later this year. And they want to make the best in the business. They want to basically take the approach of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and apply it to the video games. Now, we're going to talk about what is our sort of our dream. What are our dreams? These things may not happen. If they happen, we're just going to say, called it. But Kuma, I'm going to let you go first since you're the guest. What is your dream Marvel game? Like, what is the character? Like, it doesn't matter. It could never happen. What is the dream Marvel game that you want? If you can list it by who, what type of game? I want to hear you. Want to hear what Marvel game you want to play?
Yeah. Well, I think this is likely to happen. You know very well that I am a fighting game guy. I primarily play sports games.
I like where you're going with this, because I can already tell.
There have been some decent for the time Marvel fighting games, but I want a new like Marvel crossover fighting game, not Marvel versus Capcom. Maybe developed by Capcom, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe the Capcom style isn't really what I'm necessarily into, but. Just a new like really good Marvel fighting game.
If you look at what Warner Brothers and NetherRealm Studios have done with Injustice, well, yeah. Like I think Marvel like as a Marvel fan, I am jealous. Like I play Injustice as well, but I'm so envious. I'm like, you get those characters on a fighting game stage. Think about it this way. Like, this is so crazy to think about. The guys who make Mortal Kombat made a DC fighting game, and they're making a sequel to it.
Warner Brothers owns.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of brand synergy.
But it's the fact that like you wouldn't think to get the people behind Mortal Kombat to make this, but yet it worked.
You wouldn't until you buy them both. Until you buy them, and you're like, oh, I guess maybe we can do this now. I understand what you're saying. Is you wouldn't really think like. You know, that style would necessarily work for these characters. And if we're talking that, I mean, Street Fighter style is a little bit more cartoony than Mortal Kombat style. And just like, I think Marvel in a way is a little more surfacey than DC as far as the characters go, you know, like they're not like, especially the version of the Marvel characters that most people know are the versions from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as opposed to, you know, brooding Batman and I Let My Dad Die Superman. So,
everything sucks. Superman, I mean, and I can't do anything.
So if we're talking about a game to compete with Injustice, then you know, Capcom would be
perfect. I think just a Marvel, not even a crossover game, but I think you're right in that aim. Just a Marvel fighting game.
I mean crossover, like you're not just Spider-Man, not just X-Men, like you have everybody, you know, it's technically
it'll probably primarily mostly be Avengers, but I would like sprinkles of the everywhere else.
Right, yeah. So just like a Marvel universe.
So who's your roster? Just give me like five. Who's your base five?
Well, I mean, you have to have Spider-Man, of course. Yeah. Daredevil, I think, could be really, really cool. I think everyone who's been in the MCU is a great starting point, you know, and including the Netflix shows. I mean, maybe not Jessica Jones, because I don't know. I mean,
She's gonna put you in a containment chamber.
Right, yeah, like I like her. It's just kind of maybe tough to do in a fighting game, just especially because her powers are just being super strong, which you already have other characters doing. But I think it's a really, like, you know, Daredevil and Iron Fist could both be really, really cool and interesting. I wonder what you could do with like a character like Hawkeye, because he's a ranged type fighter. So what you could do with a character
Iron,
like that?
Iron Man, interesting as well. You know, obviously you got.
Iron Man. You got probably some pretty good things going on, because he can do range and close stuff. You know, Captain America, of course. But yeah, I think I would love to see what they could do with a character like, it's because, you know, yeah, especially like his second senses, like you can use on Daredevil or something like mm-hmm. that. That would be really a really cool sort of. What would be cool is if it could be like a VR game, right? And so you can if you can do a thing with Daredevil where everything goes dark, but you can see because you're Daredevil.
A Daredevil VR game would be pretty badass.
You're totally right. I said that and then you said that. I'm like, oh, you're right. Forget that. A Daredevil VR game. Let's talk about a different game. A Daredevil VR game would be so dope.
Yes, I agree. Any other dream projects that you would like to see?
Maybe like another good Marvel Ultimate Alliance type game would be pretty cool.
I agree there. Ultimate Alliance 2 had its shortcomings, but generally thought it was a, like, in terms of a graphics, like, it was really good for the time.
Yeah, and Ultimate Alliance 1 was great, and anyway, that was, the Ultimate Alliance 1 was on...
PlayStation 2, like, well, it was on all of them.
Yeah, but it was like early PS3 yeah. stuff, and the Ultimate Alliance 2 was PlayStation 3, and so, you know, new generation would be a pretty decent time for a new Ultimate mm-hmm. Alliance game, maybe, question yeah. mark?
Doctor Strange could be good in that Marvel fighting game. That being said, yeah, just you can literally do roster of 30.
Right. No, it's so cool because you have all these Marvel characters and they have all these cool different power sets, and if you're not lazy with it, it could be.
Yeah, just don't really do amazing. Injustice didn't make half the roster like Avengers, like make it balanced if it ever happens.
Yeah. Right.
But to echo.
Yeah, and. Yeah, yeah, and you know, maybe don't just sort of like bank on a Marvel vs. Capcom game where that has some cool things to it, but it would be cool if it's a completely new engine type.
Yeah, complete new developer. I would agree with you there. That being said, though, yeah. I'm gonna totally call Marvel vs. Capcom 4 because I.
No. Oh yeah. By the way, I'm not saying anything bad about Marvel vs. Capcom. That would be cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like you know, ever since Marvel started to sip away from that, but I grew up playing. X-Men versus Street Fighter, X-Men Children of the Atom, granted not their arcade versions very much, but I played them, including the Marvel vs. Capcom series, and of course the swan song of the series, which was Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I would love nothing more for a return to glory now that Disney is no longer making video games anymore, because Disney Infinity is drove them out of business for that stuff, which sucks to those, for the people who are working there.
Can Disney just buy Capcom?
No. Well, they could, but I don't want Disney to own everything. I really don't. I know people say it as a joke, but I don't want the mouse owning everything. I would love another Marvel vs. Capcom 4 to make another Marvel vs. Capcom 4. Honestly, this is going to sound super generic, but I would love a first-person shooter starring the Punisher. Just an ultra-violent first-person shooter game where you're going through the drudges of the Marvel Universe, and not just gangsters, but you get to fight, you get to kill AIM soldiers, Hydra agents, maybe even Hydra Steve, just for shits and giggles. Pre-order mission, fight Hydra Steve. There you go.
fight hashtag.
Exactly. Hashtag. That would be a really cool thing. You know what I would really love is, honestly, you want a new Marvel Ultimate Alliance game. I would love a new X-Men Legends game, which is what the Ultimate Alliance game was based off. Mm-hmm. I would love a game just centered around the X-Men again, whether that's a single-player game where you switch out between different the X-Men, or it's like a four-player co-op game. I feel like that would be the most logical choice, a four-player sort of running through levels with characters with like a story. You got to stop Magneto or, you know, stop the X-Men or whatever, and you play through classic X-Men storylines over the years. Like, you start with the original X-Men, and then you move to like the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and you get to the current era. I think that would be really cool to play over time, and it allows you to play through different characters. I'm trying to think of other characters, you know. Maybe Ant-Man. I think you could do a really cool... You know, you were talking about Daredevil, you know, being a cool VR game. I think Ant-Man could also be a cool VR game.
That would be.
Because you can also get that sense of...
Well, I think like, not even just like, not like, ignore VR, like just like an Ant-Man or a Daredevil, like just a straight up platformer with one of those
definitely.
Guys, you know, like that would be like, you know, or, you know, it could be a VR platformer or whatever, but like either way, I think one of those, like those two guys have a lot of cool stuff. Like Daredevil could be just basically an Arkham game,
pretty
just skin Arkham with Daredevil.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right?
But you have New York City, you have Hell's Kitchen, which provides a different environment, you have different enemies and stuff like that, and a different moveset. I'm trying. I had a thought. Oh, I'm surprised there has not been a Guardians of the Galaxy video game attempt, because that could be like such a great depth into the Marvel cosmic side, which hasn't really been explored a lot, at least with the mainstream audience. And like, you can explore, especially with a game, considering there's no licensing issues, you could explore different planets like the Shi'ar, the Skrulls, the the Badoon, all these different things you hear about, but you never really get to see that often. So I think it'd be cool to play as the Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie versions, and you have to do like, it's a science fiction exploration action game. So I think like, you play as, you know, what's his name from Guardians of the Galaxy, not Chris Pratt, Star-Lord. There you go. that joke gets old.
You forgot his name. That's, you were just playing along with.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Also, I want to see Spider-Man and Marvel All-Star Racers.
I would love a Marvel racing game. Do it.
That'd be yes. So hilarious.
Made by Naughty Dog, because they're not going to do Uncharted 4. Do it, Sony. Make it exclusive. And also,
that would be,
yeah, hilarious. And like, you know, an Avengers game. You know, an epic Avengers game. I mean, Ultimate Alliance is kind of like that.
Ultimate Alliance, yeah. I mean, Ultimate Alliance would basically be an epic Avengers
game. Pretty much. Anything else you want to spotlight on?
Not off the top of my head.
A vision game where you play Home Simulator and
just like a that'll be like a great like a bonus like Easter egg inside another game, just like a vision cooking.
Oh, exactly.
Game. It's like Cooking Mama, except
exactly vision. That'd be so great.
That would be hilarious. I feel like it's like how you could do dancing in that Star Wars game, and you could be I'm Han Solo. Exactly.
That would be pretty fantastic.
That'd be great, like dance, like you're dancing and it's Captain America on the screen dancing.
You should totally do that. That'd be so hilarious.
Iron Man dancing to Iron Man.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It wouldn't even.
No, hurt, it wouldn't.
But it would be hilarious.
That would be really cool. Also, Deadpool 2. Make Deadpool 2. The game. The first game was really good. Make a second one.
I'm sure.
I'm sure they haven't. You know, that's the thing. Deadpool's like.
Yeah, well, it's been a few years. Like, it takes a long time to make a.
Yes, it does.
Game.
Yes, it does. So there you go. We gave you some ideas. Go make a Daredevil Ant-Man game. Go make a new fighting game with Marvel. Because I think all the Marvel fans want nothing. I think the biggest thing Marvel fans want is a fighting game. Like, not yeah. Just a simple iPhone tap, tap, tap to win, but an actual combos, you know, intricate, like, balancing a very diverse roster with interesting. Because, like, the cool thing Marvel can provide is the interesting stages when I think of a fighting game. Like, you could, 1 minute you're fighting in Atlantis, then you're fighting on Star Tower, then you're fighting in the Baxter Building, then you're fighting on the Shi'ar homeworld, now you're fighting on Galactus. You know, it's like, you can provide so many different cool-looking backdrops.
Stages. Yeah, and there could be a lot of good stories.
You can crash through the X-Mansion, because Lord knows that happens once a week. You know, so... Also, Wolverine has to be a playable character. Oh, actually, yeah, you know what? No, he'll be pre-ordered DLC, because fuck...
No, Wolverine will be a... Like, you can't.
You sure about that? I guarantee though.
They can't make a Marvel. No, they could not make a Marvel fighting game without
Wolverine. Pre-order DLC would be Hydra Steve. There you go. Pre-order and get Steve Rogers' Hydra variation. His costume. That's how you. That's.
No, it'd be like Rocket Raccoon. It'd be pre-order DLC or something. Whatever movie is coming out and isn't like you know, if it's like
Doctor Strange. No. Pre-order and get Doctor Strange early.
I was thinking like Black Panther, but I feel like maybe pre-order and get Black Panther early.
That'd be cool. A Black Panther game would be cool too. Like
a Black Panther game would be
in Africa. Like, just make it like an open world like game set in Africa. We have.
Oh my god!
Like, get like seriously. I know like oh, it's so easy to make games, but seriously, I think with the amount of success and hype going around the current Black Panther movie, I mean, the hype for the movie's not even started pre production yet, but the hype around that movie is unrealistic. And I think right now, if you're gonna make a Black Panther game, the time is now. Capture on the audience and make it good. Make it open world.
Well, I'm sure if you start now, you'll probably have a game by the time the movie.
Oh, comes definitely. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the only downside. But and get Chadwick Boseman to voice T'Challa, because that dude is T'Challa. You know, so there we go. We're gonna cut it right there, because we could literally go on for hours on dream games. Let us.
To be honest, I didn't think I'd have anything when you told me to think of stuff before the show, and then we got to the end, and I was like, oh, here's one, oh, here's another one, oh, here's another one. Here's like four different
here's
things.
A, like, again, if Daredevil VR happens, we're gonna like, we totally called it.
Oh yeah, no, we're gonna demand.
We're gonna royalties.
Yeah, demand.
Royalties. We're gonna get royalties before the Marvel creators. This is how we roll. At least I hope the creator. I don't even know who created Ant-Man. Actually, it must have been Stan Lee. He definitely gets money. But we're gonna call it right there, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know, what is your fantasy Marvel game? What is one game or many games that you want Marvel? What kind of game style? What publisher? What game developer? You know, stuff like that. Give me a first person Punisher game. That's all I want. That's really what I want, and a new Farber game. So Kuhan, let the people know where they can find you at.
Yeah, well, I'm at www.imkuhan.com. It's where you find all my stuff, from top to bottom. I don't know what that means. All of my links are at the bottom of the page there. So anything, if you want to find me on the internet, it's all there. At Kuhan on Twitter, like I mentioned earlier. I have podcasts that haven't come out, but they will. And I'll have two new shows starting. One is a show about the West Wing and all of the other... Aaron Sorkin shows, and the other one is
Mr. Robot Aaron Sorkin show?
No, okay. It's not. No, the other one is it's a show. It's a show about the San Diego Padres, who I don't care about, and that's the joke of the show.
Ah, jokes, everybody.
It's a show about masochism where me and my co-host watch something that we don't care about and kind of hate and. You just hear our mental break.
I want to be on that for Batman v Superman or something. Maybe whenever the Spider-Man event happens. That'd be fun.
Alright.
Well, either way, ladies and gentlemen, as always, follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/MarvelZiggy for all updates. Head over if you want to see me. If you like me and want to hear more of my central voice, because I like to think my voice is central, head over to marvelziggy.wordpress.com, where you can check out the latest D&T commentaries, aka Dragon and Turtle commentaries, with me and Dragon. Actually, this past week, it wasn't me and Mr. Dragon. In fact, it was me and my other co-host who is not here today, Mr. Brian Powers, as I subjugated him to the Street Fighter the movie. So that was a lot of fun.
Did you then make him play Street Fighter the movie?
No, we talked about it, and I told him how horrible it was. He had no experience with it. But we talked about it. We talked about the history of Street Fighter, considering this year, what is the 25th anniversary of Street Fighter? And we sort of talked about its legacy and what does that mean. And we just sort of laugh at the movie and just have a good time. Generally, one of my more favorite commentaries to do. And Brian will be back whenever we get to our Deadpool commentary. And, of course, Kuhan will be joining us probably for the All-Star break. Maybe. If we could.
Yeah. Also, when are we doing Star Wars?
December. I've decided to wait till December. I decided, fuck it. The schedule's already full. We'll just do it in December. That'll be the last. That'll probably be the last commentary we do of the year. Just lead up to
Rogue.
Yeah, Rogue. Yeah, exactly. Just one movie, unlike last year, because I want to do nothing but Christmas movies. Because I didn't have an opportunity to do that last year. So
like Die Hard.
Exactly. Or Iron Man 3 again. Because why the fuck not?
That'll be amazing. Just redo movies you've already done and say, yeah, Christmas.
That would be a great April Fool's joke, but I already have April Fool's in mind for next year. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you always. And of course, check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter at Warriors 3. Warriors 3 PCast, The Mighty Warriors 3 on Facebook. Taser, who is our Facebook manager. I'm calling him that because I like giving people titles for no reason. They're doing a great job, at least according to what they tell me. So it could just be a complete disaster over there. But go check it out.
Oh yeah, no, it's a joke. I'm definitely a fan on Facebook. I haven't seen anything from Warriors. Okay. No, I don't know.
Whatever. The point is, I believe my crew is doing a good job. Write us a review on iTunes. Check us out there. Leave a comment, whatever. And yeah, Kuhan will probably be back on Dragon Turtle commentaries probably for like the Sandlot, because I'm recording this now, so that way I have to hold him to it in a month. So there we go.
I'm game. It's on Netflix now.
Exactly. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening as always.
Oh, by the way, if you like the Facebook page, now you could be it's at 66 right now, so you could be number 69.
Yeah, go be that sexual number, because I be it. 69, The Mighty Warriors 3. My mom would be so proud of me right now. I will see you all next week for episode number 236 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I'm the Marvelous Iggy. And I want you all, you beautiful motherfuckers out there, to stay marvelous. You have a good night.